This is football. I am Kevin Clark. We needed the best info. We got it. Bruce Feldman is here in just 1 second. Athletic, Fox. We go through our biggest draft steals. Not doing the normal thing of, oh, this guy was mock 20th and he went 50th. We're doing like, no, why did the NFL overthink these guys? Because we watch a lot of college football. Bruce knows more about college football than basically anybody, but we watch a bunch of college football and we understand that these guys can really play. And so seven guys detailed there. Also a little bit on the portal. Also a little bit on the wild ESPN report on Monday night saying that there's going to be revenue sharing very, very soon in college football. Not wild in the context of kind of the arc of history and where things were going, but like kind of popped out of nowhere that this was happening. I always thought it was going to lead there, but I thought maybe it was like a 2026, 2027, 2028 type of thing. We talk a little bit about that. As a reminder, 5-star reviews on Apple and Spotify helps us, helps everybody, helps this great community that we have built. Ladies and gentlemen, Bruce Feldman.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
All right, Bruce Feldman, one of my favorite journalists on the planet, Miami Hurricane. He is with The Athletic. He's with Fox. On Sunday night, he released his dozen takeaways from the draft. Very few people know more about each year, the crop of players that come into the draft, because no one covers college football like Bruce Feldman. What's going on, man?
I feel like I'm finally made the big time now. This is a big deal. So you have surpassed Susie as Miami's top media person in the sports field, I think.
Oh, I think Dan Le Batard still has it.
Yeah, you're way
The Rock. This day is past. I just read something bad about The Rock. Maybe he's late on set all the time. So maybe I'm passing him as well, because I'm always on time. So are you. I'll start here very quickly. You're at the meetings, a couple of college meetings this week. Pete Thamel last night reported that there's close to a settlement which would change the structure and the path of college football as far as revenue sharing goes. We'll see the details on that, but it looks like it's going to happen. The players are going to get some revenue. We could go all pod on this, but do you think in 5 years, 10 years, the NFL draft looks dramatically different given what's going on structurally, Bruce, with college football?
I think it will look different. I mean, some of this stuff has been moving towards this for a long time. Jim Harbaugh, actually, obviously no longer a college coach, was one of the more vocal people speaking out. Now, you've had CBS had also reported yesterday that, and this is something we had heard at The Athletic a lot of as well, some of my colleagues there, about the Big Ten and the SEC moving in that direction. And yeah, quite honestly, what's different about college football as opposed to the NFL model is really you have two massive power brokers, and that's, you know, it's Greg Sankey who runs the SEC and Tony Petitti who now runs the Big Ten, and everybody else has kind of fallen in line from that because mm-hmm. they don't have the juice to do much. So whatever they want to get done, I feel like can get done. And how, you know, obviously there's no minor league system like there is in other professional sports, but college has worked out fairly well, or quite well, in terms of like what the benefit is for the NFL. But so much has changed. And you're right, we could go down a long rabbit hole just talking to coaches in the NFL about the development piece. And because guys are bouncing around so much, they're not as developed as they were a few years ago. And so I think there's a lot of stuff that's still, you know, this is a massive movement of a lot of change that's going on, not just on the revenue sharing, not just on the playoff expansion, obviously on the conference realignment. I think we're seeing a huge shakeup. And honestly, a lot of this, the AFCA, the football coaches meetings are going on here now as well in Arizona. And there's a lot of stuff they're trying to figure out and even what they can get their hands around.
100%. And I'll just say this, because again, I don't want to ask a follow-up because we can go all day on this. The last couple of years of conference realignment are going to look like child's play when it becomes semi-pro and everything starts shaking out and there's schools that will be disinvited, invited to leave conferences, don't want to do it. They just say, we want to maintain our educational mission, whatever. It's going to look a lot different than people think. All right, we're doing draft steals here. We'll get to it. Your first guy is an Illini. You have the floor, Bruce Feldman.
Yeah. I mean, for me, Johnny Newton, I was pretty stunned. He went, you know, as far down as he did. He was a dominant, disruptive defensive lineman. You know, he had the Jones fracture he was coming off of, but you know, I ran into Brett Bielema, who coached him and also coached in the NFL for a while with the Patriots, and is a D-line guy. And I was like, we were talking about Johnny last night, and he was like, the guards are going to have a real hard time with him. Mm. You know, he's like talked about Johnny Newton's matchup against NFL guards. This guy is just a very disruptive, heavy-handed, explosive inside guy. I'm not saying he's Aaron Donald. You know, he's bigger than Aaron Donald, not much, but he is bigger. he is going
hit the weight room, Donald. Come on, man.
He is going to be a big force. I love what the Commanders did in the draft, starting, you know, not starting with Jaden. Obviously, I like that pick, but I think where they got Newton was a great value.
So I completely agree on the Commanders. I actually shouted out the Commanders on Around the Horn. The only thing is, so I saw the Schefter report that the Commanders were never considering Drake May at two. It was either going to be JJ McCarthy or Jaden Daniels. I actually think Drake May is going to end up being, in a vacuum, the second best quarterback in the draft. But what they did is, and we're going to talk about another Commander here in a second, but like Ben Sinnott from Kansas State, one of the best athletes in the draft. Like, I think the baseline is Adam Peters understood how to take athletes and understood how to take like the easy pick. He wasn't overthinking it. I loved it. And we're going to get to it, to another guy like that. Having said that, I'm going to go with an Arizona Cardinal. And I don't know how much you know about this guy, but he is, because he was not necessarily on the college football radar last year. He's Elijah Jones. He was a third round pick 90 of the Arizona Cardinals. He's a 6'2" cornerback from Harlem, New York. And he was one, if you look at his, first of all, look at his testing data, one of the most athletic cornerbacks like in the history of the draft. Like, and that matters. That stuff matters. Look at Tyreek Woolen. Look at those guys who are draft steals, Richard Sherman. Guys who are third, fourth round picks who pop quickly. They're normally great athletes and they're normally big, okay? But by PFF, one of the top forced incompletion guys last year, third best vertical jump in the entire draft. I believe in coverage, he had one of the best numbers in a number of years as far as passer rating against. Like, if you're going to bet on anybody, bet on projection, it's somebody like Elijah Jones. Bruce, do you know anything about him? And just talk a little bit, because now Jeff Hafley is in the NFL with the Packers, and kind of what that defense is built on for Packers fans.
Yeah, I think Jeff Hafley's first on him is really sharp coach. Now, I get why he moved to jump when he jumped. I mean, I thought he did a terrific job when he came from the Niners and was Ohio State's defense coordinator for 1 year. They got a lot better. They were really good on the details, and they used to give up a ton of plays before he got there, and he really shored that up. He went to BC. I thought he was going to really do well there because he had a reputation for being a terrific recruiter. They had a lot of injuries. They just struggled to get any traction. He would definitely, you know, if he didn't get it going and went 5-7 or something along those lines, I there was pressure on him to you know, whether he would have kept his job. I think, but with the Packers, I think the direction of that franchise right now, it wouldn't surprise me if Jeff Hafley's interviewing for NFL head coaching jobs a year from now. Very smart guy, very well thought of. He's like one of Kevin O'Connell's, you know, best buddies. They coached together in the NFL before. A lot of people think very highly of him. And he knows, you know, he knows DBs. And what you're talking about, like, I'm always fascinated by the traits guys, you know, and even if they're smaller,
100%.
You know, you have a player from Houston Christian who is like started at Cornell, and Jalen Tunney. Crazy numbers, you know, for an edge guy. And there are a handful of them where you're like, oh, who is this, you know, kind of player. And quite honestly, there's a bunch of areas. Like if you're from New York City and you're a high school basketball 100%. Recruit, people are going to see you. If you're a college football recruit, those areas, they're really underdeveloped. You know, maybe the coaching isn't as great. I'll throw a name at you for next year, AJ Cornelius. AJ Cornelius is an offensive lineman. He started his career at URI. He's from New York City, just was a project, you know, didn't have the strength and conditioning program coming out of high school. He played at URI, and then all of a sudden everybody in major college football swooped in on him. And they basically started Stephon Wheeler. I don't know if you remember that name. He was an offensive lineman from Michigan State who I think kicked around the NFL for a bit. He was the offensive line coach. And all these coaches are like, hey, can you tell me about him? And he was like, well, I was the one who developed him. Now you're going to take him from me. And they did. Now he's at Oregon, had a really mm-hmm. good first year there. And I think he will be a guy that a lot of people will look at in the draft next year. But this is another example of somebody who is kind of an under the radar, even in New York City, because the football quality there is spotty at best.
I think it's interesting. I'm looking now when I look at the portal. Quarterbacks, I think P5 to P5 quarterback transfers are extremely valuable. Look at the three of the six in the first round. You're looking at Bo Nix, obviously. You're looking at Michael Penix. You're looking, I'm not going to put Caleb Williams in that bucket, but Jaden Daniels. You're looking at guys who went into scheme fits or new opportunities. For non-quarterbacks, a lot of the most valuable guys are like AJ Cornelius or Braden Fisk or Jared Verse, where they're going from G5 or in some cases FCS to Power 5. And that, I think, is the most important because it's all traits-based guys who pop once they get onto a college campus.
And they're proven commodities then. Yep. You know, like this is the big thing. When you get a lot of guys who come out of high school, maybe they were a 4-star, maybe they were a 5-star, but they haven't really played. Coaches are like, all right, well, what are we evaluating them? Their film might be stuff from a 247 camp or something that, you know, is shorts and a t-shirt, and who knows they're going up against. These college guys who played somewhere else and they've contributed, they've already shown that they can play at least, and sometimes they end up playing against, you know, if they're a MAC guy, maybe they played one game against a Power Five school. And so you can really see how it translates. And I think that's a big thing. There's so many guys who end up, you know, there's a handful of Ivy League guys who are now in major college football. You know, my old freaks guys, Thor Griffith is going to go to Louisville. There's another one who's also like a New York guy, Joey Slackman, who is an all conference defense lineman, is now at Florida. And there's just a lot of guys who maybe they develop later. And, you know, it was the FCS schools that took a chance on them. In some ways, I think the FCS coaches know, and even the Group of Five coaches know, that it's harder to do what they're doing because you can't develop that guy. And just to circle back on our guy, Tariq Woolen with the Seahawks. So every year I do my freaks list, and it used to be in July, but then we bumped it back to August. And so when I call coaches, you know, I'll do a circle back to some of the other ones maybe later in the summer. And I talked to Jeff Traylor, UTSA's head coach, and we started talking about Tariq and the numbers, you know, 6'4", you know, ridiculous broad jump, ridiculous numbers, length, everything. And he goes, hey, when is this going to run? And I told him, and I think in the back of his head, I was like, good, nobody can poach him from me at that point. Because
100, literally that PFF today put out like, who is your team's secret superstar? And people are quote tweeting and stuff for college, right? And literally the thought in my head was, I would not post a damn thing until the transfer portal closes later today. You just never know.
No, you don't, because, and look, quite honestly, these guys are now way on everybody's radar.
Yeah.
There's the recruiting staffs and the personnel departments are much bigger. So there are, like, I'll give you this quick example. A guy I know who ran the personnel department at a Power Five school the last mm-hmm. few years, he had a recruiting board of guys, most of them who are not in the portal yet.
Yeah.
He thought they might be. This school was not aggressive on NIL at all. So it wasn't like they were, you know, putting out feelers to get guys to go in, but a lot of schools do put the feelers out more than the feelers. They reach out to a high school coach. They reach out to a relative. Maybe they recruited the kid before in the recruiting process. I mean, that stuff is going on a lot.
And I'll take 5 seconds on this, but when I was at the Final Four a couple of years ago, and it's a much bigger problem in basketball, I was at the Final Four a couple of years ago, and I ran into a kind of a friend of a friend who was an assistant coach with another team. And the guy I was with was asking him about a transfer player who was really good that season. And I didn't really know much about the situation. And the assistant coach was like, oh yeah, his handler had reached out like the November before. And we're talking about like the fourth game this kid had played at another college, and his handler was already reaching out to bigger schools. And I'm just like, what? It's almost like JUCO now, where the moment you step on a campus at a smaller school, you're already offering yourself to bigger schools. It's really astounding. And I'm sure that's happening in football as well. I just don't have any concrete examples of it. But I'm hearing the story and I'm just like, holy crap. Like, this stuff is telegraphed years in advance.
It is. And also what you have are coaches who go out on the road recruiting. They may be circling up and talking to players. I mean, I know of a story of a pretty prominent college player last year and the year before. He was not in the portal. His team had a bowl game, and he basically got a home visit from a rival school, another school. He ended up going to that school. And there was, you know, like, so when I talked to the coach about it, I was like, can you turn, you know, it's like, there's really no evidence a lot of times of this. You may have it's word of mouth from like maybe somebody who knows the kid who saw it, if it happens on, you know, in a college town.
Yeah.
But it's really hard to turn that stuff in. And the NCAA, as you well know, is largely powerless to do anything.
Ain't that the truth? All right, you have another Washington Commander on your board.
Yeah, that's Mikey. He is, always hesitated to say he's my favorite college player, but he was my favorite college player. I would say he was one of them. But so Fox, our Big Noon crew, we did a ton of Michigan games over the last few years. He's a kid from Massachusetts. He's not very big. He was a tough little slot receiver. They moved him to DB, and he was a great nickel. He is, and I can say this from being on their sidelines during a lot of games, he was the best leader on that team. I would argue that he did more to change Michigan football in the last couple of years than as much as any player they had. You know, he's 182 pounds. If you see him walking around when he wears his glasses, he looks like a law school student. he's a bright kid. He's super instinctive. He's really tough. Now he's a dynamic athlete. He was a 40-inch vertical jump guy. He's a really good tackler. He's a great blitzer. He was a ball hawk. He made huge plays. I get why he was not a first round pick. Before the Ohio State Michigan game, I'm on the sideline with a longtime NFL scout I know. And I said, what do you think of Zero? And he was like, he's 5'9" and whatever the, you know, the number in scouts are, he's 5'9" and 18/38 or what, you know, it was something where it was like not good enough to be 5'9" and a half. And he goes, he's so little. And he was like, I worry that he's hold up. How well he'll hold up. He's like, but he does make plays, and you're like the 19th person here on the sideline who's like, you're trying to sell me on him, even if you're not. And I was like, I just think he's a great player. He's a great college player. And look, I mean, he's not, and they play different positions. Like, I love Devin Witherspoon coming out at Illinois last year. And when you talk to coaches in the Big Ten, they thought he was a lot bigger than he was. I was like, no, Devin's like 5'11", 183 or something. They thought he was like he was 6 feet 205, right, just because he kind of played that way. Now, Mikey doesn't look as thick as that, but he definitely is fearless. I think he will make that locker room better. I think he will make that defense better, and he will find a way to make plays.
I completely agree. I'm going to stay on the defensive back train with another guy where I just watch him and I'm saying, why is this guy not more coveted? He went in the second round. It's Cole Bishop out of Utah. The praise for this pick from really smart people, I think, is important. So Rick Spielman, working for CBS now, said he's one of the most explosive hitters he's ever seen on tape, one of his favorite players in the draft. He was, and I was stunned by this, according to Relative Athletic Score, Cole Bishop was the 14th most athletic safety in the history of the combine. In the history of the combine, so going back to the mid-80s, Cole Bishop was number 14.
I'm hoping Sean Taylor was in one of the top 13.
Yeah, we have to. He has to be. And if he's not, he needs to be grandfathered in, and we need to just put him up at the top, okay? I don't know. He may not have even tested fully, but yeah.
On Bishop, so let's start with this.
Yeah.
He was coached by Morgan Scali, and Morgan Scali is a great defensive coach over at Utah. He played the position. He was Eric Whittle's wingman when they were the safeties. Bishop was a really good blitzer. Bishop was just – the only knock I heard from talking to DB coaches, one of the DB coaches in the NFL said he's a little bit of an anatomical curiosity in that he's 6'2", but he has like 29 and a half inch arms. And I'm thinking like, okay, you usually don't see, say 6'2" is good for a safety. The arm length is short, but it's not like, I would worry about that more if he was an edge guy with really short arms. I'm not saying I would just throw it out, but he tested great. His film is really, really good. He's a really smart safety. Like the two Utah safeties were really interesting evals, because Sione Vaki was one of my freaks guys. And if you watch him now, I think he'll be a hell on special teams. Mm-hmm. And I think he'll end up like, a Dan Campbell guy. You know, I could totally see that with the Lions. But people thought he probably needs another year of playing safety. He didn't always look that comfortable. He looked terrific when he played running back. You watch him against, now it's USC's defense. A lot of people look terrific against it. But I think both those guys are really, really interesting players. I get why he didn't go in the first round. But I was surprised that I was like, oh, he'll definitely go in the top 75, especially the way he tested.
Real quick on USC, when Kalen Bullock went in the third round, I was on air with Harry Douglas and Spencer Hall, and I remember thinking the adversity to be all first team Pac-12 on USC's defense last year, like Kalen Bullock was, with an Alex Grinch defense is actually like that's a football miracle. He should have gone higher. Just if you're first team all Pac-12 on the USC defense last year, that means you are so unbelievably good.
Well, there was a player 2 years ago on the USC defense that was super productive, and he's turned out to be a terrific pass rusher for the Chargers. One thing that worth pointing out on Bullock, because I live in Los Angeles and I'm around USC a decent amount. Bullock was playing really early, and so his first real year to kind of get people's eyes was the disastrous year they fire Clay Helton early in the year and the program's falling apart. And he's out there and he's throwing his body around. He's probably 173 pounds. And then Lincoln Riley and Grinch's first year there, 2022, he's also, I don't know if he's 183 pounds. He was willing. People loved his range. It was a lot to like. Again, I think physically, another year, I think he will continue to physically develop. I think he has a chance to be a really good NFL player.
I love that. More with Bruce after this. Why should you bet with Caesars Sportsbook? Two words, Caesars Rewards. Every bet brings you closer to the types of benefits only Caesars can offer. Hotel stays, VIP experiences, sports and concert tickets, and more. It's not just an app, it's an empire. 21 and up, must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, Nevada, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming, or Washington, D.C. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Utah, and other states where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Ohio, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harris, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER, 1-800-426-2537, or Maryland, visit mdgamblinghelp.org, or West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net, Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP, Colorado, D.C., Nevada, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700, Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through Horseshoe, Bossier City, and Harrah's, New Orleans. Massachusetts, if you or a loved one is experiencing problems with gambling, please call 1-800-327-5050. Or visit gamblinghelplinema.org for 24/7 support. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. New York, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So quickly, I do want to get to Cooper DeJean, but I want to talk about this West Virginia center who a lot of people are saying is going to be an instant impact guy. Zach Frazier, what do you got?
So I, in my mock draft, the big thing for me is I talked to all these coaches in college who have played each of the players. And what I'm trying to find out is, you know, everybody has, you know, there's a lot of people, really sharp people and well-dialed in people on the, you know, on the, in the draft space, but nobody knows these players better than the guys who scouted them, game planned for them, and then actually played them because they know what they're trying to do against them. So one of the coaches I spoke to had faced, you know, a couple of really good offensive linemen in the draft. And we got to talking about Graham Barton versus Zach Frazier. And we didn't even start talking about Zach Frazier. Zach Frazier came up, but he was like, Zach Frazier is a beast. If you're talking about like inside guys, like I get it. Graham Barton has more position flexibility. No one could think Zach Frazier going to slide out to right tackle or left tackle. Mm-hmm. But, you know, as another one of these guys, both he and Barton were, you know, former wrestler guys, but this guy is just a nasty athletic dude. And I'm not saying like he will be a 10-year starter in the NFL, but I think that is such a good pick for like, I really liked what they did there. You know, I like the first round pick who I think is a really outstanding offensive lineman. I love Frazier. I think he will be a longtime starter. And I, you know, if Peyton Wilson's shoulder and knees can hold up, I think Peyton Wilson will be a huge steal for them because mm-hmm. he's blazing fast. He's really instinctive and he's ultra tough and he is relentless. I get it. You know, I don't know if there's an ACL in one of his knees. I heard
that. Right.
Was.
Yeah. That was a great report that came out in the middle of the draft. And it's like, that could have been handy yesterday before the draft. Great.
Yeah. He can definitely, if he can make it through one contract, get him for that length of time, I think he will pay off for any NFL team.
I completely agree. All right, my last guy, Cedric Gray, North Carolina running back, who had a lot of hype coming into this year, and he produced. It's not like he fell off, but it was like last summer, remember at Media Days, Mac Brown was hyping him up as a future NFL star. He goes to the Titans. All he did, first of all, he's only 21 years old, 369 tackles, 30 of them tackles for loss, almost 9 sacks, 18 passes defended. I'm looking at Titans film room here who had all these numbers together. The guys who covered, one of the North Carolina beat writers said he's one of the most engaging guys he's ever been around, how much he loves football, two-time first team all ACC. What this speaks to, Bruce, is how undervalued linebackers have become. Where Edgerrin Cooper isn't going until the second round. Day one, Junior Colson can't even sniff the first round. And you're thinking about 10 years ago, these guys may have gone 13th, 14th overall.
I think Mike Barrett was seventh round. And I know guys who really like, you know, Michael Barrett, the other linebacker at Michigan. Yeah. But I would argue, again, and it's a little funky because the medical thing, if Peyton Wilson came along 15 years ago and didn't have medical issues, I think Peyton Wilson's a top 15 pick. Mm-hmm. Edgerrin Cooper, run and hit guy. I don't know if he's the guy who wears the green dot there, but he was really productive on a very dysfunctional program. I don't take that lightly, meaning when everything else around you is in chaos, your coach is, as you know, people think is going to get fired, and you still put up the numbers he put up in the league he put up, like, oh yeah, he's got playmaker written all over him. You know, I think Colson's really good. I know the Michigan guys had been talking him up for 3 years, and he's smart. And he's like, I thought he would have run a little better when you see him, but he's still, I don't know. They say he's a legit 4.6 kind of guy. I think he'll make a bunch of plays. I mean, as you said, there are a lot of guys in this draft who I think are good linebackers. They're just going to, you know, end up as fell back a lot further because people aren't drafting linebackers and they're not really drafting running backs for the most part.
They'll only play 10 years and they'll only be the key and anchor and heart to your defense. That's all. Last thing, why were you shocked that Cooper DeJean fell off of day one?
Because he's such a playmaker. You know, he's another guy you need to see in person. I mean, he is a thick, sturdy guy. He's an animal on special teams. He is really physical. I think he's a good tackler. Also, he's an elite athlete. I get why some people have initial skepticism about it. I talked to one NFL DB coach whose his comparison was he reminds me of Minka Fitzpatrick, and I see some Javon Holland in there. And you look at him athletically, it's not like he didn't have a high-level production. Now, is he going to be Patrick Peterson as a cornerback? No, I don't think he's that. But I think he's such a complete defensive back, and for where he went, especially who they took first, who I thought was the most talented corner in the draft.
Yeah, Quinyon Mitchell.
By a good amount, in Quinyon Mitchell. This is another example to me of really talented guys falling to the Eagles, because I was surprised Quinyon fell a little bit to them, and I'm definitely surprised DeJean did. Like, I think he's a first-round talent. I'm surprised he got out of, the late 20s. And again, he's somebody where you see him and you watch him athletically. He was by far the best player on a really salty defense. And I think he'll hit the ground running in the NFL. And I think he'll be a great fit in Philly.
I'll say this. Howie Roseman drafts like he watches college football, which is a compliment. Like, he actually watches the game and says, oh, that guy looks pretty good. And I think that not every GM does that. Brad Holmes is actually one of the guys I've talked to who obviously clearly enjoys college football. And you can kind of tell in the draft process.
Brad Holmes' part that I think stands out to me is, I think he's like, I'm going to take good football players. Yep. I'm not saying that he doesn't look at measurables, but I think you see that a lot. And I think, again, sometimes, the Ravens, I go back to one of maybe my all-time favorite college player, Ed Reed. Ed's measurables were fine, but it was the football player and the instincts and the way he played that made him a Hall of Famer, And I just think that some of those guys, I don't think they overthink it. They're like, okay, this guy's a really good football player. And he can fit in our system. We're not going to worry about this thing, or he didn't run this great of a 40 time or whatever, if they love the film. And I think they stick to their convictions.
I have one Brad Holmes story about college football, which is that two summers ago, I was in Allen Park and I was meeting with him. I said, we went to Miami. He said, man, Mario's really killing it on the trail. And I was like, yeah, he is killing it on the trail. And a couple hours later, I saw Ben Solak and I was like, hey, Brad Holmes is raving about Mario. And he was like, if you put a GM said that Mario is killing it on the trail on Twitter, I'm going to immediately call this fake because it sounds made up. And so I never put it on Twitter because it sounded made up. If I literally just put Brad Holmes says Mario Cristobal is killing it on the trail. So I've never said it anywhere, but clearly A, Brad Holmes is right. B, he's clearly tapped into college football, which you can really tell when you see a Jahmyr Gibbs, when you see a Brian Branch going to a place like the Lions, and then they're day one contributors.
So. Yeah, Brian Branch, another example, great football player, just a great fit. And I think that's part of why that franchise got turned around.
Yep. Okay, thank you so much, Bruce. Enjoy Scottsdale, Arizona. We'll see you soon.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.